Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 8. We have the four Gospels that begin the New Testament. And they're called Synoptic Gospels. They tell the same story, but they tell it in four different viewpoints. Matthew presents Christ as the King. And then Mark presents Christ as the servant. And then Luke presents Christ as the Son of Man. In John's Gospel, Christ is presented as the ever-living, everlasting, first begotten of the Father, the Son of the living God. And so we have the four different viewpoints about Christ. And in three of those Gospels, we have a genealogy. In the book of Matthew, we have a genealogy. If you're a king, everybody wants to know about your ancestry. And if you're a man, like in Luke's Gospel, everybody wants to know who your parents were. And it goes back down the line. John's Gospel gives us his genealogy in the very first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mark's Gospel doesn't give us a genealogy because nobody cares where a servant comes from. But still, we have the Synoptic Gospels. We're looking here in Matthew chapter number 8. And I just want you to see with me tonight about four different things here out of Matthew chapter number 8. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Lord, we thank you tonight, this afternoon, for the Word of God. Lord, we pray that we'll glean some truths today that will help us be better servants for your name's honor and glory. And Lord, that we can all say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Thank you again for Gilead Baptist Church and for the lighthouse that they are here to Macon, Georgia and the surrounding area. And I pray you'll give them great days ahead. Bless Pastor Holmes and his dear wife and get them refreshed and refired and re-energized for the work you have for them to do, and help this church to be all that you need it to be in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was an amazing thing about the Lord. Everywhere he went, people gathered around him. In fact, so much so that there were very few times that he could have peace and quiet. But everybody loved him, or they wanted something from him. As long as he could do for them, they would be there. But there came a time in his ministry where the Bible says, and many departed from him because of his hard teaching, because he was telling them that he was going to Calvary and he would be crucified, and they did not want to hear that. But as we come to Matthew chapter number 8, in the preceding chapters, namely chapters 5, 6, and 7, we have the event of the Sermon on the Mount. And I love to preach. I love to be around preachers. I love to hear good preaching. There's four types of preaching I love, and they all are good. Long sermons, short sermons, good sermons, and bad sermons. I do more of the bad than the rest of them. But they all make me want to preach. And some I'm sitting there and I'm writing down the outline that's being given. And I walk up to the preacher after he's preached it. And I say, "Would you mind if I use that?" And they say, "Yeah, go ahead." And I had a preacher, not too many times they ever tell me that, Brother Huff. But a preacher come up and said, "I'm going to take that sermon and make it famous." I said, "Well, go ahead. I got it from somebody else. It may already be famous." But here in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, one of the greatest sermons ever been preached. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 8, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "When he was come down from the mount," the mountain. And I love those mountaintops. I love to read about them in the Bible. I love to be in those mountaintop times in the church. Man, Brother McGowan, I can remember those early days at Macedonia in the Port Ellis Community Center when we just had some good times. But hey, I can remember in chapel services at Gilead Christian Academy when the Holy Spirit would just move in among us. And we had some great days. And I remember those times even in these later years when sometimes, Brother Huff, during the singing, the Spirit gets to moving.
Yes.
And the people start going to the altar. And they're hitting that altar. What's happening? It's a mountaintop experience.
Amen.
And I get those God bumps. Mm-hmm. Man, those are wonderful times.
Amen.
When you just feel God.
Yeah.
Now, not every time we come to church do we get that sensation. But I love that time, those times when He's just so real and He moves in among us.
Yes.
And it happens all over the building. Now each one starts moving and you think, well, the preacher's not even preached yet and God's already at work.
All right. Amen.
And then when the preacher gets to preaching, there's people still going to the altar.
Yeah.
Does that bother you? No. God's doing something. It's the mountaintops. Just imagine if you'd been there on those days. He's preaching away there on the mountain. He didn't have a sound system either. But it must have been something else to hear His voice boom. We was in New Zealand and one of the men in the church, he said, "I don't like no preacher to holler at me." I said, "Well, the Bible says to cry loud." And I don't know how you can do that without getting a little loud. And I prayed in one of my son's preaching messages. And he said, "That wouldn't do for me." I said, "You're just an odd sort. You don't like good loud preaching." But preaching. Imagine just being there and hearing him talk about, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We hunger and thirst today, but not usually for righteousness. It's for a Reuben sandwich, some macaroni and cheese. Oh no. These folks, Jesus said, if you'll hunger after righteousness, you'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You need some mercy today, then show a little bit. Blessed are they, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Then he goes on to talk about being salt and light. Then he goes on to say he didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he is our righteousness. We can't claim sinless perfection, but he could. And because he was, we are also pure before him. Then he talks about how to have a good testimony and how to do right and how to stay right. Then in chapter 6, he talks to us about our treasures. And he says in verse number 20, 19 and 20, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And today, that's very true. Where's your treasure? You show me where your treasure is, and I'll tell you where your heart is. Jesus just had that teaching way about Him. Then in chapter 7, He talks to us about our giving. Then He talks to us about our praying. And He just had that great manner that He always has. When you read His book, when you listen to it, when you read it, it just does something for you on the inside. And that's what the mountain was to these folks. But I want you to notice here in chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Bible talks about coming down from the mountain. May I say to you today, there's a charm about being on the mountain with Christ. There's something special about that. There's something special about being here Sunday in and Sunday out and Wednesday in, Wednesday out. Just being around God's people. Being in fellowship one with another. You don't get that by the live stream. I can remember in May, we had been going about 6 or 7 weeks with no in-person services at Canaan. Pastor was preaching live stream and about 7, 8, 10 people there performing the duty of the sound people and the camera work and things. And we'd sit at home and watch it on the screen. Our pastor wouldn't archive it. He said, if you're going to look, you're going to see it when it happens. He didn't want us taking Sundays off. He didn't want us going listening to somebody else. He wanted us to hear our pastor. And so we sit there, and then they called one Sunday and said, "Will you come sing?" I thought, well, that ought to be different, singing to an empty church. So I did. I rather enjoyed it. And I sang, and I asked my wife, well, what'd you think? Well, it was different. There ain't nobody there to hear you. And we went 6 or 7 weeks. And then we got the call, said, we're going to have in person Mother's Day. And I mean, it was great. What was so different about it? Well, you was with everybody. And I love my church family. I love being around them. I love looking in their God-given eyeballs and saying, I love you. And I appreciate you. It's just something about being with the kinfolk. It was almost like a family reunion. I mean, we hadn't seen each other in a long time. And it's about that mountain. But listen, there's something about being on the mountain that is just wonderful. But you just can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. Why? Well, let's look at verse 2. And behold, there came a leper. A leper. Your leprosy in the Bible. Anytime you see a leper or leprosy, it's a picture of sin. It's an illustration of what sin does to the human. It separates you. It puts a barrier between you and others. A leper could not have a home around others. They were ostracized. They were put out of the camp. And so, what I want you to see is there are some people that will never come to the mountain. And although we enjoy being on the mountains, and I do, I love being in church. I love being around y'all. I mean, the preacher wouldn't even have to really ask me to come. All he'd say, would you just drop by? And I say, yes, sir, I'll be there. Why? I love being around Christians.
Amen.
But there are some people that will not come to the mountain. They won't come to church. So we've got to go to them. We've got to go to where they are and take the mountain to them. And so he's come down from the mountain. Now notice the man. The leper. Everywhere he went, he had to cry, unclean, unclean. There was a certain distance that he couldn't get close enough to people. There was that sanctuary time to keep away, keep the distance. But the Bible says here, and behold, there came a leper. He couldn't go to the mountain. But I'm thankful that the Lord was willing to come down from the mountain and to come to where he was. I still remember the day when the Lord came by my way. My good friend, Dr. Hinkle Little, he said it like this. One day the Lord came by the house. And while he was there, he saved me. Do you remember the day the Lord came to where you were?
Amen.
He did something for you that you could not do for yourself.
Right, right.
He touched you in a way nobody had ever touched you.
Right.
He saved you.
Saved you.
Oh, that was a great day. And I want others to know that. I want others to see that. To be able to enjoy that. But they won't come here So we got to go to where they are. There's more to church than just being in the church house. There's the gospel, the good news. And so the Lord came down from the mountain, and we must also. The leper came, and the Bible says he worshiped him. Can I say to you, he came to the right person. The other crowd would have said, get away from me. I don't want no part of you. But he came with the right attitude also. He was worshiping. He knelt and worshiped him. And then he had the right request. Listen to this. He said these words, Lord, if thou wilt. Some of the sweetest words the Savior ever hears from the lips of someone. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There's nobody ever said that to Jesus that it has ever been turned away. Why? He's never lost a case yet. And he's not going to. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So not only the mountain and the man. So you got the mountain. You got the sinner. But notice the master. Verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Have you been touched today? I'm not meaning touched in the head and you've lost your sense. But if the Lord has touched you with salvation, yes. He's done something for you.
Amen.
He's done a great work.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And the Lord touched this man.
Amen.
He touched him. The law said he couldn't do that. But this is not an ordinary man. This is the God man.
Amen.
And I already told you. He taught there on the mountain. He said, I came to fulfill the law. I mean, he was the lawgiver. He's the one that wrote it. They wasn't telling him anything that he didn't know. So he reached out and touched him. And Jesus said, I will. Now, if what that man said to Jesus was some of the greatest words that Jesus would ever hear, Brother Allen, don't you know that that was the sweetest words that man had heard? I will, be thou clean. Wow. What the Lord did for him. Basically, he gave him everything that he had lost back. And you know that's what the Lord does for us. What we lost in Adam, through Jesus, we get it all back.
Yes, amen.
Everlasting life.
Hey.
A home with God.
Yes.
A paradise to look forward to. God's so good to us.
Hey.
The mountain, the man, the master. Nobody ever spoke like him. And when he said, I will, be thou clean. It wasn't a 14-step process. Look what it said. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. He looked down. Brother Allen looked at his hand in those white spots. Those blemishes. They were gone. He hadn't been able to stretch his hand out probably. And it was whole. And don't you know he was happy? But I want you to see Moses' commandment and the mission. Look at verse 4. Now this sounded strange to me when I was studying this. If Jesus did something for you like that, he did for that man, you wouldn't want to just hold it in. Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man. Jesus said, don't go tell anybody what I've done for you. That's strange. If he'd done for me what he did for that man, and he did, by the way, you ought to want to tell it to everybody. But some of us act like Jesus said to us, don't go tell anybody. So he says, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Now in the book of Leviticus, along about chapters 13, 14, and 15, we have the law concerning leprosy. And if anybody had been cleansed of leprosy, there was a prescribed offering that they were to present to the priest at the time to show that they had been healed. Some turtle doves or some kind of offering. And the only problem was, nobody had ever done that. If you got leprosy in the Old Testament, it was a death sentence. You were going to die. Just mark it down. You're done. Two people had ever been healed of leprosy. One was Miriam. And the Lord healed. God healed her straight. And then there was Naaman. Naaman was told to go dip in that muddy Jordan 7 times. And that was the prescription. And he had to go dip in the muddy Jordan 7 times. He said, there's a lot better rivers in Syria. I can go there. But that's not what God said. The Jordan. We got a lot of people today, they've got a better way to go to heaven. And they want to go there. They want to go their way. The only problem is God said you got to go by the cross. You got to go by the way of the blood. And so those that try to go a different way, there are no back doors to heaven. Only one door. And so men have tried and men have failed in trying to get to heaven by some other way. And so the leper's told, don't tell anybody what God's done for you. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Why would he do that? Well, there's another group that will not come to the mountain. You know, in our day and age, there's a crowd that there, if they get saved, it's going to take somebody that really knows the Lord and has a way of preaching or teaching to them and bringing to their attention their need of the Savior. Who is that crowd? That's the religious crowd. The cults, the false prophets, the false teachers, the false faiths. And if somebody doesn't go and show them the real way, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. And the priest in Jesus' day couldn't go to the mountain. So they needed somebody from the mountain to come to them.
Amen.
And so Jesus, he knew that crowd couldn't come to the mountain. So he said the best testimony we can give them is to show them something they've never seen before. So notice the man, the leper, he's cleansed, he's whole, he's healed. How do you know that? Because Jesus said immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He's just as new as a newborn babe. And so Jesus said, take the offering that Moses commanded and go to the priest and tell them what's happened. Show them what's happened. And so the priest, you know, he's there in the temple. In walks this man. He's got his offering. And the priest is looking at him. He said, "What can I do for you today?" He said, "Well, I don't know how to really tell you this, but I've been cleansed of leprosy." And the priest starts backing up. Why? He'd never seen this before. He'd been a priest for many years. Nobody had ever come to him like that. He said, "Don't get upset." He said, "Look, I'm whole. And I've got the offering." What this world needs today, they need to see somebody that's got the real deal.
Amen.
They've been saved. Not only are they saved, but they've got the life that shows it. The pure Christian life. Oh, we're not perfect, but we are forgiven.
Amen.
And we can live through the power of the Lord Jesus. A life that's pleasing unto Him, that we can show forth our testimony. You see, because there are some people that will not come to the mountain. So we've got to be the mountain and go to them. And we've got to give them the gospel. Why? So that they might be saved. We can't save them, but we can be a witness to them. The priest, he wasn't going to go to the mountain. But look what Jesus, look at the last line of chapter 8, verse 4. "For a testimony unto them." This is what is really the mandate of the church. We are to be a testimony to those who will not come inside the walls of the church. Why? Because if we don't tell them, if we don't show them, then one day they're going to be sentenced to hell. They're going to die and spend eternity in hell. And there's a reason in the last chapters of the book of Revelation where the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Why? Because we're going to know whether or not we were a testimony. And even though we'll enjoy the pleasures of heaven, God's going to have to wipe away some tears because of our failures. You say, "Preacher, I don't know if that's just right." Well, I thought you might say that. So turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 6. You see, Jesus loves the lepers. Jesus loves the sinners. He hates the sin, but He loves the sinners. He was known as the friend of sinners. But He loved the priests who were sinners too. Look at Acts chapter number 6. And look at verse number 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." You see, it's not only the down and out sinners, but the uppity up sinners. The crowd that doesn't realize they need to be saved. They've got religion. The only thing is they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's all about that. Knowing Him and Him knowing you. Do you know Him today? If Jesus was preaching today on the mountain, would you be on the mountain? Would you be right there? I'd love to have been there, wouldn't you? To hear that voice say those wonderful things. Or would you have been one of the crowd that never would go to the mountain? Or are you one of the crowd that will come down off the mountain to go to where they are and to be a testimony unto them? That's the mission of the church, folks. We've got the mountain. There are a lot of men, lepers, sinners. They need to be saved. And we've got the great Master, the Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost. The problem is, we're not getting the message out. We're content. Just stay on the mountain. And we're very comfortable on the mountain. But we've got to get about the mission. Off the mountain and out in the place where the message needs to be delivered and lived. Today, I don't know where you are as regarding where this in this story you are. But I would pray that we would all be at the end of chapter 8, verse number 4, where we would be a testimony unto the crowd that won't come to the mountain. Would you stand with me?